Welcome to the Jennings Wire Online Magazine podcast series, where we feature interviews with top authors and experts. My name is Stacey Amaral Kaufman. I'm the radio director of Annie Jennings PR, the national firm behind the online feature magazine sensation, JenningsWire.com, a special community of bloggers and podcasters that is capturing the heart of America. There's nothing like it on the web, and we invite you to visit JenningsWire.com to discover the blogger that is just right for you. Today's guest is Darren Carlson. He's the author of the new book, Your 1960s TV Guide to Estate Planning. Darren takes his 26 years as an estate planning attorney and cleverly weaves familiar 1960s TV families to create and make estate planning informative and humorous. Fun too, right, Darren? Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Stacey.
Let's go right into it because, of course, we think 1960s TV. The first thing I think of is Leave It to Beaver. And I was just saying to you, we were talking before the call, that I was thinking, leave the estate planning to Beaver. So why would you do that? Why would you use these 1960s TV families to explain estate planning?
A couple reasons, actually. Most people really focus on estate planning when they're 40, 50, 60 years of age. And people that are in those age brackets grew up in the 1960s and 1970s. The families from the TV shows like Leave It to Beaver give us a family structure to discuss and understand the family dynamics. Leave It to Beaver with a mom and dad, you know, June and Ward Cleaver, and two young kids, Wally and the Beaver, is a traditional structure, and that's when most people do their first estate plan ever, is when they get in a family structure like Leave It to Beaver. The goal in the book was to take TV families so that a reader would just instantly understand the family dynamics. Okay, Ward and June Cleaver discussing what happens if they both die, who's going to raise the little beaver. Those type of estate planning questions become really obvious when you weave them in with shows that are really familiar.
Yeah, I was going to say, Darren, who are some of the other families that you use? I mean, obviously, we're talking about Leave It to Beaver, but what are some of the other families?
It's kind of a life progression. Leave It to Beaver starts with a couple with young kids. Then we go to the show Bonanza, where we had Ben Cartwright and his three sons, Adam Haas and Little Joe. They're all adults. So independent adults, full grown, working on their own. It's a little different structure. Then we go kind of to the next stage of life. We use as our example the Waltons. And we really focus on the Waltons' grandma, Esther Walton, who during two of the seasons, the last two seasons, had an actual stroke. And she was very disabled, speech impediment. In fact, she had no speaking lines on the show the last 2 years. So it gives us a picture of dealing with parents, dealing with spouses, children when they are disabled. It could be dementia, it could be Alzheimer's, it could be a stroke, but it's focusing on those typical later in life type issues. We got the Brady Bunch dealing with blended families, blended children, stepchildren. We got Little House on the Prairie focusing on children with disabilities. There's a special type of trust called a special needs trust designed when parents or family members want to leave assets to a disabled child. And that Little House on the Prairie is a great example. My favorite chapter, the next one, focuses on the Beverly Hillbillies. Jed Clampett's got $25 million. Who is Jed Clampett going to leave in charge of his money? Obviously not Ellie Mae, the tomboy's daughter. Obviously not Jethro Bodine, his dim-witted nephew. And definitely not Granny, who is the wiry mother-in-law. So what's he do? He turns to a corporate trustee of bank, i.e. Milburn Drysdale. It gives us a great example, though, of when situations arise where we need to go outside of the family. The last couple chapters, Gilligan's Island, focuses on Thurston Howell III and federal estate taxes. The next chapter, probably one of my two favorites, is All in the Family. Imagine the dialogue of Archie and Edith Bunker having discussions with their attorney about How to Protect Gloria's Inheritance from Her Meathead Husband. It's humorous, and it just, if you've ever watched that series back in the 1970s, you will understand why it became five straight years in a row the number one sitcom. The last one is Big Valley, which focuses, again, very similar to Bonanza. You got Victoria Barkley with her four adult children, but it's a different type of estate plan because two of the four kids are on the ranch, involved in the ranching operation, whereas two of the kids have off-farm, off-ranch jobs, so there's some family dynamics and how do we be fair to everybody. But those are the sitcoms we really weave into the different types of estate plans.
Well, it seems like you've got all the bases covered, and that should be great for people who are putting off the estate planning, because that happens a lot, doesn't it? And why do people do that? Why do they procrastinate so much when it comes to this?
Well, I always try to explain to my clients, it's not if you pass away, but it's when you pass away.
Right.
People put off estate planning. I always, more times than not, find out the number one reason they put it off is intimidation. They're uncomfortable with going to the lawyer. They're uncomfortable with what the attorney may charge. So selecting, hiring, and finding a suitable attorney is one of the reasons, along with the cost. So I try to get folks over this intimidation by explaining them, and there's a full chapter dedicated to how to find a good estate planning attorney, the nuts and bolts of estate planning, the terminology, different methods to evaluate. If we can get people over that intimidation and the fear of it being expensive or they're going to somehow lose control, we can hopefully get them in to see their lawyer. Any attorney who specializes in estate planning can do this. They can follow the examples, the illustrations here. But we got to get people in the door to go to their estate planning attorney and get it done.
And Darren, quickly, because we're running out of time, let us know some of the costly mistakes that are made besides just procrastinating to you, it's too late, and then also some myths surrounding estate planning.
Well, the most common myth is probably that estate planning focuses only on passing assets when somebody dies. There are two sides to the estate planning coin. One is incapacity or disability during lifetime, like Grandma Walton. The other side of that coin is passing the assets when somebody passes away. So the myth is that estate planning is only about when we die. It also deals with disability during lifetime. Mm-hmm. The most common mistake in estate planning, I refer to typically as the Rube Goldberg estate plan. Rube Goldberg, of course, in the 1960s was the inspiration for the game Mousetrap. And now it's actually a defined adjective in the dictionary that says a comically involved or complicated invention which is laboriously contrived to perform a simple operation. In essence, a Rube Goldberg estate plan is something that should be very simple and is made complicated. The biggest mistake in estate planning is often the estate plans are made overly complicated when they really can be quite simple and quite effective.
All right, Darren, well, I want to thank you so much for being here with us today and having some fun with us and discussing estate planning. Yeah, we're using fun and estate planning in the same sentence, of course. And you can pick up a copy of Darren Carlson's book, Your 1960s TV Guide to Estate Planning, on Amazon and learn much more about Darren at carlsonburnett.com/author. carlsonburnett.com/author. Thanks again, Darren, for being here.
Thank you, Stacy. Appreciate it.
And this podcast is presented by Annie Jennings of the national publicity firm, Annie Jennings PR, the creator of JenningsWire Online Magazine. JenningsWire is capturing the heart of America with a rich community of talented, insightful, and relevant bloggers and podcasters. So please visit JenningsWire.com and discover the blogger that's just right for you. Till next time.